going on? It's Tuesday. That's right. Time for Totally Driven Radio Rocks Tuesday edition. My name is Bay Ragney. What's going on, everybody? Got a little special show for you tonight. Got a new good friend of the show. That's right. A person who I've wanted to get on the show for years and finally made it happen. He's you might know him as the lead singer of probably one of the glamest bands that come out of Hollywood. They had a, I guess it could be like a cult classic album or just an all-around favorite album. It's one of my all-around favorite albums. And that album was called Leather Boys with Electric Toys, and the band is called Pretty Boy Floyd. That album came out almost 30 years ago. So I guess you can say I've been waiting 30 years to do this interview. So it happened. That's right. Did it the other day, taped it the other day with Steve. They have a brand new album that just came out a couple weeks back. It's called Public Enemies, and it truly is the follow-up to Leather Boys. I mean, all these years later, 28 years, 29 years later, whatever it is, there's really been no album with Steve and guitarist Christy Majors together, and they're together. So we discuss why they're together. I mean, they've had a very bumpy, rocky relationship over the last couple decades, which most hardcore Pretty Boy fans know this. They know the stories. They know the fights. So we discuss it all. We discuss the first album, the latest album, everything in between, the fights, and why they're back together to make amazing glam rock music again. So, but, you know, before we get into the interview, we got to do other things. We got to play some music. Let's go back in time. Let's play some old stuff first. Then we'll come back. Then we'll do the interview. And then we're going to play a bunch of new stuff. So let's rock. Let's rock and roll and set the night on fire. How about that? Let's do it. You say you want to set the night on fire. One thing, what that you need to take you higher. One, two, three, let's go! Yeah.
it's only in my head. But who cried the night the music died? Trip, you gotta check in your baggage. Delusionary consciousness, how did it ever get to this? Verbal masturbation. Oh, 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 shut up.
There was Shut Up, which actually wasn't on that classic album. Came a few years later, but I just love that tune. One of my favorite tunes after the classic debut album. Before that one, we did I Want to Be With You, which when you hear the interview, we discussed that tune. We discussed the video, the tune, and how we both thought that was just going to break them and make them a huge band. And, you'll hear what happened and why it didn't. And we kicked it off with Rock and Roll is Going to Set the Night on Fire from Leather Boys with Electric Toys. So, all right, so here's what I got to do. I got to pay bills real quick. So give me 3 minutes of your time. Check out my sponsors. Let me play my commercials. Let me keep the music going, keep the interviews playing, keep the network going. And come back, flip side, we're going to go right into the interview with me and Steve. And then we're going to round off the show with some more Pretty Boy music, and I'll say my goodbyes until next time. So check out my sponsors. And one of our sponsors is a freaking superhero. Check him out. He's Black Man. That's right. ChrisFraleyPresents.com.
I'm Black Man, saving mankind, one stereotype at a time.
To the Black Mobile. To the corner of Martin Luther King Street and Malcolm X Boulevard, pronto.
Will Black Man make it to the crime on time? Or will he be on CPT? Stay tuned at chrisfraleypresents.com.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Are you a fan of Sherlock Holmes? Letters from Holmes offers unique, one-of-a-kind letters from the world-famous detective himself. Handwritten on 8.5-inch by 11-inch aged parchment paper and using smudge-free ink to produce original, high-quality letters that fans will treasure for years to come. Each letter is handcrafted and written from the perspective of Sherlock Holmes, mimicking Holmes's native tongue and embracing many of the famous detective's quirks, quips, insults, and peculiarities. Order a love letter, birthday greeting, personal correspondence, or more only at www.etsy.com/shop/lettersfromholmes.
For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin in the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause, www.caseyscause.com.
Looking for that perfect gift for your ghoul friend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to TeddyScares.com. And be sure to become our friends at Facebook.com/TeddyScares.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
And there he is, the one and only Steve Summers.
Oh, wow, that was interesting. Awesome.
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Robot. How you doing?
Robot. Good.
Well, it was just weird. It was just weird. It was like, wait a second, you'll be able to hear the station. And then you came in. It was just kind of interesting.
So I got a funny story to tell you first off to kick this thing off. So,
okay. Hey, wait, first of all, is this being recorded now? Is this live?
Yeah,
live?
Yeah.
Did you tape it?
No, we're recording.
Okay, good. Now this is part of it?
This is part of it, yes.
Okay. Gotcha.
Okay,
I'll make sure I laughed your jokes then.
Yeah. Make me feel a little important, please.
Yeah, you got it.
So rewind in time, you know, back in the day, Leather Boys comes out. I'm a 19-year-old kid, blown away, completely in love with the album. And I start this new job as a telemarketer. And
I've done that many of times.
So a lot of, you know, they're like, you know, you don't have to use your real name, and you know, you can use a name just to be on the phone. And my real name is Bay Ragney, so I'm like, you know, it's a pretty unique name, so people are going to, if I'm calling people in this area, they might know me. So I'm like, all right, I gotta change my name. So the first name that comes to mind is Steve Summers. So for 6 months, Steve Summers was selling circus tickets for the Police Athletic League in the Philadelphia area. So there you go.
Really? That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. I like that one. Huh. Very nice.
Yeah, very so nice. You inspired a telemarketer, so there you go.
That's awesome. That's a little smoother than, you know, Dee Schneider.
Yeah. Yeah.
A little.
Definitely.
I love Twisted Sister, so don't take it wrong, Dee.
Yeah. But it flowed. It flowed out. And yeah, I'm making money there. So it was good. It was a win-win situation.
Right on. If I could tell you how many telemarketing jobs I had, oh, my God. But we don't need to get into that. Good Lord. And I wasn't selling circuits tickets.
Yeah, I'm sure. You were probably selling better things than circus tickets.
Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah. So can you believe? I mean, it truly has been like 30 years since that amazing album came out. I mean, do you kind of like scratch your head and just be like, "Holy shit, where did the time go?"
You know what? I'm not a big head scratcher, and I've been doing it so long. But let's just say, you know, never stop doing it. I'm a very, I don't know, that sounds kind of stupid. Like, I'm a very youthful guy, you know. I don't do drugs or anything like that. I exercise, and my wife is 20 years younger than me, and blah, blah, blah. So it kind of seems like, you know, like when we played the whiskey, you know, a couple weeks ago, you know, I swear to God, it could have been like a week before that we did like our first, you know, whiskey show, you know, in 88 or something like that. It's really strange. I swear to God, it's really strange. I mean, you know, I could probably get on, you know, be in Brazil right now and walk into the club or theater that we played, you know, 13 years ago and feel like it was just yesterday. I don't know if that means I'm very youthful or I have a good memory or this or that, whatever, but it doesn't. There are a couple, you know, a member here, even one or two members of mine that go like, "Can you believe?" Sometimes, and I go like, "Yeah, I do. Yeah, I knew we'd be doing it." And so for me, that's just my honest answer. For me, you know, maybe there was a time in there years ago when things were a little slow or something, and I'd look back and go, "God damn, that was like 18 years ago." But not in a way of like, "Where did the time go?" Just it's just years and stuff like that. You know, I don't know, man. I'm just, like I said, a youthful guy, and I'm a day by day guy. And but I mean, sure, if you put it down on paper, when I tell people or people that I don't know or people that don't know who I am, you know, maybe at some of my DJ gigs or something, when they're like 20 years old and I'm whatever age I am, and I'm all, "Yeah, we had a record come out. It came out in '89 on MCA." I'm like, what? '89. You know, but no, it's pretty awesome. But then again, when I, you know, put together Pretty Boy Floyd, I probably said to myself, "I'm going to do this till, you know, the very end." So, you know, we are far from the end. You know, that's not me doing my Tony Robbins or anything. It's just the way I think, you know.
But it kind of almost sounds like, yeah, you know, like 30 years, all right, 30 years has come and gone, but it's kind of like you've blinked and like all the ups and downs of the last 30 years are like, it's over and done with. And like you've picked up, like Leather Boys happened and now you guys like blinked and then it's 30 years later and now you've picked up with this new album, Public Enemies.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff in between, of course. You know, you got your EPs and your re-recorded demos and your this or that, whatever. But, you know, there's stories to all that. You know, sure, I could look at a few different lineups and a few different this and put into perspective what was going on at that time. Like, oh, yeah, sure, we took that, you know, 7-week tour because, you know, it was a drunken debauchery of women and this and that, whatever, but and all that stuff. But now is a different time. Yes, now is a different time. You know, it's maybe, you know, it's the same thing with maybe some businesses or some sports teams. Like, wow, you look at, you know, I'm just making a joke. Like, yeah, you look at my LA Rams and, you know, 12, 15 years ago, they were horrible. Now they're better.
Right.
You know, this or that, whatever, but not that the same players were on this team, but,
and they were in St. Louis at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And, it's just that, me, you know, now that me and Chris are back together, you know, and things take time to, you know, I don't want to say mature, but, you know, to be on the same page.
Right.
And even though we've been back for a while, it took a while to get, you know, back on the same page, which is only natural, you know,
sure.
You know, a lot of people could, you know, whether it's relationships or bands or businesses, they could get back, you know, the next day after they got into a huge something to go, okay, let's do this. But they're really not doing it. They're just doing it to say it. But you know, we came a long way to go like, you know, let's, what are we doing? Let's do this. Let's do, you know, what we do best.
Right.
We do best, you know, glam rock. We do best, you know, catchy songs. We do best sleaze. We do best this, we do best that. And the great thing is that, you know, for us, you know, not that, you know, maybe some of the critics or the this or that or whatever will, I mean, the critics have been great. So that's what's, I don't want to say strange, but
right.
We've gotten so many great responses with the stuff. I mean, we really haven't really got any bad stuff. I mean, maybe it's because there hasn't, I don't know, been a record like this in a long time. I mean,
right.
You know, most, you know, I mean, I can name 5 to 10 of the bands that were bigger than us at that time. And if you look at them, not to say looks or anything, you look at them and you go, oh, wow, they changed. And then maybe if you listen to them, you can go like, and that's not ragging on them or anything, like, okay, their better stuff was actually, you know, in 89 to 92. It is what it is,
right.
You know. But we feel that we captured what would have been, you know, would have been our second record, you know, if,
right.
You know, the whole, you know, if the whole music scene didn't change or the whole just, you know, whatever, would have been our second record. So,
You know, you were saying how, like, you and Chris, you know, you guys got back together and decided, you know, like, we're going to do what we do best. I mean, did you guys, I mean, because you guys have had an up-and-down relationship over the years, but did you guys, like just sit down and just talk and, like, look, man, let's just friggin' do this. Like, let's, like, was it, like, a real come to grips with reality? Like, you know, we're good together. We make great music together. Like, let's friggin' do this.
Yeah, I mean, some of the getting back together part was, you know, I mean, we knew it was right. We knew people wanted to see, you know, at least me and him together.
Sure.
We knew that. And, you know, shows were offered to us. I'm not sitting here going like, oh my God, that show was offered and we made $1 million or something. But,
right.
You know, whether it was the, you know, the Cat House show or the this, like, you know, things that we were like, dude, they offered us this and why don't we do that for a starter? And then once we started that and we saw how people reacted again to what we do and, you know, we went into the studio and stuff like that. Yeah, we just knew that do what we do best. And we know that people love that stuff and they, no one really does it. And, you know, unless, you know, it's really just a few bands, you know, overseas or something that are,
right.
you know, trying to capture, you know, the stuff of the many of years ago, even though, you know, it's been done a million times over, but they're, you know, trying to capture the, you know, the Skid Row, Motley Crue, this, that, something, something. And, you know, but, yeah, I mean, we said, let's just do what we do best. Let's do where we left off.
And right.
After the first record, we were planning on putting out, you know, a better record, of course.
Right.
You know, I mean, even Bon Jovi, you know, even though his first record was great, I love Bon Jovi, but, you know, it was the third one that, like, broke him into mega, you know, mega stardom. So, you know, things take time, and we just said, let's get back to what we do great, you know.
I saw you guys came out this way, it was just over a year ago, you guys played Delaware with LA Guns, and I was there, and I was, honestly, the Halloween show thing? Yes, at that firehouse.
the Halloween show. Did you see the Halloween stuff?
but actually, like, I was kind of surprised because the crowd was into it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they were singing along. I was like, wow, like, okay. Like, people remember. There's still fans out here in this area that remember Pretty Blue Floyd. I was very proud of this area.
So now you're saying you were surprised.
I was. I honestly was.
Yeah. No, we have, you know, the thing is that, you know, I mean, smart people know that, you know, the first record, sure, it didn't sell millions of records, but it definitely got the core, you know, people around the world, you know, loving it just as much as, say, like, a Too Fast for Love or the best Poison record or the best of this record, or the best, you know, right. Just, you know, whether they spread it around or told a friend or this or that, whatever, you know, yeah, I mean, we have some, you know, it's funny you said that because even at the Whiskey show, there was a few people that never seen us before that I invited down, you know, through my other connections and stuff. And they were like, I couldn't believe it, man. I'm standing next to these kids and the stuff and they know all your words and all your stuff. And I'm going, well, yeah, I mean, we've been doing this for over 30 years. And, you know, now with all this, you know, now with all the social media and, you know, you got, you know, a few people here and a few people there in every state and this whatever, and, you know, you spread the YouTubes and you spread the Facebooks and you spread this, and all of a sudden you got 5 more and 10 more, and, you know, those people are showing up at the shows and loving it.
Right.
So, but yeah.
No, that,
you know, yeah.
That's actually something that it seemed like you guys really weren't too big on. Until late was like social media. Like now it's like you guys are social media monsters, like posting constantly on Facebook and all. It's like you woke the sleeping giant all of a sudden.
Well, I don't think there was, I mean, of course now it's bigger than ever, but I don't think there was, if you want to go back years ago, if you want to even go back 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago, there wasn't a whole lot to talk about.
Right.
You know, I mean, we weren't going to go crazy and go like, you know, you got to see us in Argentina. It's going to be the group. You know, we kind of waited for the new record. You know, I guess that's the way you put it. I mean, we didn't want
right.
to. Is that the best way I could say it? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, you know,
yeah.
sure. There was MySpace. You know, we did what we did. You know, when there was MySpace and this and that, whatever. But now, sure. I mean, I have to admit, you know, during all my, you know, business stuff during the day or this or that, or my life, you know, I'm telling people what's up. I mean, you know, it doesn't stop, you know, McDonald's from advertising, you know, 50,000 times a day, you know, to get their fucking Big Mac and fries. Everybody knows they got Big Mac and fries, you know? So if I'm going to tell them that, you know, it's videos premiering or it got this many views or this much whatever. And I know it's not hitting the same people. Of course it's hitting the same people, but it's also hitting, you know, the few people that, you know, aren't actually on Facebook and Twitter every day. There actually
right.
is some people that, you know, don't go. I mean, we all think everybody's on it every day, but there actually is some people that aren't on it every day. You know, maybe they might take 2 days off. you know so,
it's funny because I'm on there every day. And I have a 20-year-old daughter.
Yeah, so am I.
And she's not.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Yeah, my daughter's like the exact opposite. She like she'll go on once a week and check her pet videos, and then she's good. She's done.
right. Gotcha. But I like reading anyway, so I'm like I'm a sports fanatic. So Jesus Christ, it's like I have my 4 or 5 things that I'm on. I could sit there and enjoy, you know, whether it's CNN, you know, ESPN, you know, Facebook, something else and something else. So. Why not check it out? I want to know what the bands are doing. I want to know who's touring. I want to know, you know, this and that. And I want people to know just as much what we're doing. You know,
sure.
I mean, they ask us. That's the thing. They ask us, you know, when's this going to be available? When's this going to be available? When, you know, even the thing a couple days ago that I posted behind the scenes, people were asking me. They were like, do you guys have any stuff? And I actually, within like a day or two, I was like calling everybody that was at the shoot going like, if you have pictures from behind the scenes and so that, I didn't take any, you know, so like the makeup artists and the girlfriends and wives and all that are sending me stuff. So that's what people, they ask for. And now I got people asking, do you have any video of behind the scenes? Cause you only posted pictures. So it's a never ending thing, you know, and it's awesome. You know, it's awesome. It's cool that I could, you know, wake up at 4 a.m. and there's people on there going like, oh yeah, man, I'd love to get, you know, a few CDs. And if you happen to have Leather Boys, that would be great. And do you have the Volt record? That would be cool too. Cause you know, so that's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Now which would you prefer? Like, would you prefer the days of being on Sunset Strip, flying the like crazy, or posting on social media?
Well, you know, you have those. I was a young buck back then. So, now don't get me wrong. If I didn't have the responsibilities as I do right now, when I was doing that, you know, I was a young kid. I was 18 to 20 and stuff like that. So, you know, I was probably living for free. I was probably not, you know, maybe working. I was not this and that. So I had all the time in the world. No stress, no nothing, whatever. But I know what you're saying. I'm just giving a little story to it. sometimes I got to tell you, honestly, though, and I almost lost my mind a few weeks ago where I was saying to myself, there was a couple big shows out here, and even at our stature and stuff like that, I was saying to myself, should I go to that show with somebody and go in and put flyers around and stuff like that for the whiskey show? Because right. it was like I was actually going to do that, but I was like, but the reason I didn't was like, I was like, ah, shit, I got to work that night. I DJ as well. So I admit that, you know, which is cool. DJ is cool. It makes good money and stuff like that. But, no, I mean, those times were great. Those times were great. You know, it was also, you know, you're flying in places where you're not supposed to be flying, or you're right. sticking things on walls and stuff where you're not supposed to. You know, sometimes the city would call the following day and go, excuse me, if you guys don't get those flyers down from that school, or, you know, one time actually the country club, the Reseda Country Club, got a hold of our manager and said, if that stuff isn't down, but you're never playing here again. So, but you know, the glory of walking down Sunset Strip, you know, after we get out of Chris's van, you know, a little buzz and, you know, leaving the studio and stuff like that. No, it was all awesome. It was all great. You know, it was all great then. You know, we're a little older now, and sure, yes, it's nice to do. I wish we had more people. I wish I had it, you know, every day I could walk into my little office here and have 10 people lined up and go, okay, now you're going to hit all those Instagrams, you're going to hit all those Twitters, you're going to hit all this, that, and you're going to hit all that. And by this time, I want all of those people to, you know, write back and say they're going, and, you know, so, you know, but a lot of this stuff, you know, we do ourselves. I mean, you should have seen me, you know, putting together the VIP packages for the whiskey show. Jesus Christ, it's awesome to do, but good Lord, I almost lost my mind. You know, up until you know, an hour before the show, people were still like messaging, like, "Do you still have VIP? Do you still have VIP?" I'm like doing my makeup, you know, warming up my vocals. So, but it is what it is. It's great. It's the hustle.
You know, it's funny too. I really don't think like the new generation like really even understands like the world of flyering, because like I've promoted a few shows out here in this area, in the Philly area, over this past year. So I'd be going to concerts and stuff and just doing that, just going and, you know, putting out flyers and just walking up and down the line as people are standing in line to get in. And I'm trying to hand them flyers and they look at me like I have three heads. I'm like, dude, it's a flyer. It's free. Take it. Read it. Come to the show. And they just look at you like you're nuts. They're like, what do you mean? Like, I'm like, take the freaking flyer.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, yeah. As we would know, you know, people with their what's that word I'm looking for? They would actually have to take it. They would actually have to look at it. They would have to figure out where to put it and all that stuff instead of, you know, at 4 a.m. when they get home and they lie in their bed and they get out their tablet and they look and go, oh, there's a show. Yeah. So, right. I get it, you know. But back then, yeah, on the Sunset Strip, you know, the girls and the stuff, they would love to have a flyer and love to take it home and this and that and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, sure, I got you.
So now, how's it been, you know, with Frontiers now? I mean, because this is, you know, I mean, you guys are doing videos again, and, I mean, it's a whole big, like, kind of machine almost, which really haven't had the luxury of, shall we say, in years to do.
Yeah, it's awesome. Well, one, we want to thank Frontiers, and it's awesome. I mean, you know, the list goes on of what, you know, bands they have had or do have, so that's awesome.
Right.
I mean, come on, you know, to be on a label with, you know, that's putting out, you know, a Whitesnake record or a Warrant record or a Sebastian Bach or a, you know, or years ago, or actually last year, Night Ranger and what, Journey,
right.
they did one Journey. You know, they're just they're a pretty good machine right now. I mean, you know, and it's, I would say they're given the opportunity, the bands to, you know, do it. And, you know, if your product is great and you're this and that, whatever, they'll ride with it and stuff, but it's awesome. I mean, they know what they're doing with their, promotion and their distribution and, you know, getting the stuff out here. But once again, you know, it's up to us as the band to do our thing, you know?
Right.
But it's great. You know, it's great. What can I say?
No,
it's awesome.
You guys, going back to that Delaware show, you had, Ben Graves on drums, and now he's not no more. What happened there?
He actually had he had a health issue. He had and has a health issue. Can't really talk about it. You know, it's kind of a personal thing. But all I could say is he hasn't played since, and he's dealing right now with a health issue. So at the moment, we wish him the best, and you know. It happened actually at one of our shows when we were playing in Colorado. He had an issue on stage, and he's dealing with it, and we hope him the best. But
wow.
But yeah. So you know, he gave us, of course, the go ahead to, of course, go ahead, guys, and do what you got to do, and all that stuff. But yeah,
right.
So that was that. He's got some health issues, and we wish him the best.
Now, how about one thing too? Like I like always wondered, and it kind of pissed me off. Like going back to the days of you know, the first album again.
Mm-hmm.
The song and video, I Want to Be with You. Like I remember, like for some reason, like I never saw it until like the years of YouTube. And I remember waiting. I kept saying to myself, "This is going to break them. This is going to break them. This is going to put them over the top." And it just never happened.
Well, let's get something straight here. I mean, Set the Night on Fire did not get the plan for Pretty Boy Floyd was not to get a limited airplay and limited MTV play. I mean, we're an image band. We're a big rock anthem band, and you know, everybody, it doesn't take a genius to figure out to break a band. You know, you have to at least get the airplay. Let's just stick to video play. You know,
right.
As some of the other bands, whether it's a Bon Jovi or a Def Leppard, or let's just take Poison or Warrant or bands like that, or LA Guns or Fast and Pussycat. Now, of course, if we would have got, you're never guaranteed that it's going to make it work, but if we would have got the chance, we feel that, you know, it would have exploded.
Yeah.
I mean, there was so many people that, I mean, when you're on the Sunset Strip and you just follow those bands, like I just said, Warrant, Faster Pussycat, Guns N' Roses, all that stuff, and people are just like, oh my God, these guys are going to be the next Motley Crue, the next Poison. The label has got to be, it's very simple. I mean, in my world, it's very simple. I mean, we took a chance with MCA. They never really broke an act like us. You know, their biggest band was like a Night Ranger or a Tom Petty, you know, and they didn't know what they were doing. It's a fact. They knew how to write a check. They knew how to go, what, you know, director do you guys want? They were able to go, you know, do what you want to do. But they didn't know how to make the machine work. They didn't, you know, it's very simple. You know, I'll use my sports thing again. It's like having an incredible quarterback, but a terrible offensive line. It's just going to get killed. So we gave them a great record, and a great live show, and great songs and all that kind of stuff. And they didn't, you know, use the machine of, they didn't know how to do it. I mean, you got to get it on the good rock. You got to get it on. I mean, these aren't excuses. This is a fact. I mean, there's many bands that you could probably do an interview with, and you could probably get out a stat sheet and go, well, you guys were on 150 ARO, rock stations. It just didn't take off. You know, you look at ours and you could be like, well, you weren't on this one. You were on Z Rock and this and that. Whatever. You know, so it's the same with MTV. I mean, you can't put us at, you know, on Headbangers Ball at 2:30 in the morning, 2.5 hours into it, I mean, we sold a couple hundred thousand records, and, you know, it's went on to sell more, but you got to be seen. I mean, hello,
yeah.
You know, so if you thought they messed up on Set the Night on Fire, they really blew it on I Want to Be With You, because that one did even, you know, that one got like on Headbangers Ball maybe once or twice, and on VH1. The bottom line is that the label screwed it all up. And anybody that wants to ask me questions, anybody that's a musician or that really knows the business knows that MCA, we took a chance with them. I mean, they had all the money in the world. That they wanted to do it. We sat with them and they said, we want to make you the Motley Crue, the Poison, this and that. Whatever. And the only reason I'm saying those bands is because, of course, you know, off the strip, there was, you know, I'm meaning that because we were the most we had that kind of look and that kind of sound and this and that. I don't want to say they wanted us to be the next Guns N' Roses. You know, our songs weren't like that. You know, I'm just giving the small comparison. Yes, they wanted us to be the huge or huger than, you know, whatever. And they just didn't know what they were doing. I mean, if you were in some of those meetings, you know, I saw some of their heads spin around, you know, when asking them questions about, like, you know, okay, so what? You know, so we're going to get on at this time, and we'll get on Dial MTV, and we'll this and that. And it was just incredible. We knew, yeah, by the time of I Want to Be With You, we were just like, oh, my God. I mean, we let the one mistake of Set the Night on Fire, you know, Set the Night on Fire should have set the groundwork almost of like, okay, these guys are rolling now. Okay, now they got an opening spot for a big band. You know, this and that. I Want to Be With You was supposed to kick it into like overdrive, and then say like a 48 Hours or even back into the Wild Angels or a Leather Boys was supposed to make it into a monster. But you know, walking through the aisles of MCA and listening to their excuses and stuff like that, it was a, you know, welcome to the world of business, you know, at 23 years old. Not that we were stupid. It's just that we, you know, that type of music and stuff like that. I mean, you know, even Poison, they didn't sign the greatest deal. They might've had better people, you know, through their Enigma Capital deal and stuff, but they didn't sign a huge deal, you know, and even their first single, you know, what was it? Cry Tough.
Yeah.
You know, didn't do that great. And they had to fight to get the second one. And all of a sudden, boom, you know, so, but they just, you know, as you would say, yes. I mean, don't get me wrong. I was sitting there, I was in disbelief, and I'm a kid, and I'm going like, and I'm sitting there watching these bands that I knew were never going to do anything, that we never hear from in our world, you know, and I'm going, oh my God. So it's very simple. You know, it's like I always tell people, if I can name five bands that were bigger than us, that were bigger than them now, if we would have got the opportunity that they got, just the airplay and the video play, we're not asking for the world. We're not saying put us on a Bon Jovi tour and give us, you know, this and that. Just get us out there and let the fans decide.
Right.
But we didn't get that chance. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you said, you had to find it. You had to, like, you know, you had to find a Metal Edge magazine, you know, 4 months after I Want to Be With You, and go, oh, they did a video? Oh, it's behind the scenes. Oh, this is nice.
As a matter of fact, there was they used to put out what the hell was that thing? I think it was called Hard and Heavy. Maybe it was like a VHS magazine that was starting out.
Yeah.
And I remember I bought that thinking I'm going to see the video finally, and I was like, shit, it's only clips.
Yeah. You know, an interview and some clips and stuff. Like, hey, man, Jesus. You know, like I said, it was supposed to be like Set the Night on Fire, Set the Bass, you know, I Want to Be With You, Blow It Up. It was supposed to be 48 Hours, Extra, Blow It Up. And then it was supposed to be like Leather Boys for the Kill. And then maybe one more just to throw in, you know, after we sold 10 million records.
It sounds but, so, you know, simple when you put it that way, doesn't it?
Well, not simple, just like that was our kind of plan, you know, but when you're dealing with a big machine of the world of business and stuff like that. And, you know, I guess as anyone would say, like, you know, if you want to do things right, you know, even in any business, like, well, do it yourself. You know, run your own business. And then at least when you make the mistake, you can blame yourself. But, you know, I still have, you know, my list of people that I'm just, I can name their names right now and go like, oh, God, that person. Oh, God, that person. I mean, I remember, I'll just real quick, I remember walking to the office one time to this guy that was supposed to get our radio guy, and he was supposed to get, like, I Want to Be With You on, like, these stations or so, and he kept talking about, like, Tom Petty, like, song or something, and I was saying to myself, is he going to talk about us soon, or what the hell? It was just, like, it was incredible. It was incredible. Yeah, so what can you do? Life goes on.
Right. Yeah, and you kept it going on. I mean, you kept waving that flag pretty hard, man, for the last 30 years. Like, you never gave up on that pretty boy.
Yeah, and, you know, and now the flag is bigger than ever, and, you know, we're getting, like I said, we're getting great, critics are critics, and that's lovely, but for fans to say that they, I mean, we've had fans say that this record is better than Leather Boys, you know, so... You know, I don't need to hear that, but I'm just saying they think it's incredible, and you know, people really love it. They love the fun and the, you know, the big sound, and they love that, you know, we're doing exactly what we do best.
Absolutely. Yeah, man. I'm excited. It's finally good to hear, like, a full length album, and it does have that Leather Boys feel. It's got that, you know, the anthem type style songs again, and it's good to hear you guys back, man.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I love it. I mean, I crank it up in my car, and I'm, you know, the choruses and the, you know, the great verses and guitar ripping in there and drums, and I dig it. I'm totally happy with it, and so far so good. It's gotten, you know, great responses, and we're gonna do the same thing. I mean, we're gonna do we will do at least four videos, you know, we're
really?
Already planning on. Yeah, we are. So that's 100%. There's nothing that could stop us. We would do them ourselves if we had to. So we know that people want to see the videos. We know the action of the social media, you know, once again, you know, there are some of the bigger bands. Not the bigger. I'm not talking about Metallica and Guns N' Roses. I'm talking about the bands that were bigger than us that they might put out one video to, you know, introduce the record and then no more videos. But we're going to, I don't know if that means they don't have four or five greater songs. I don't know if that means they can't talk the hits that they had back in the day, but we feel that there's some great stuff on there, and at least, you know, I mean, the response has already been, and I want to do it. We're putting out, you know,
right.
Like I said, we're putting out four or five videos. That's a fact. You know,
that's
next
awesome.
we're going to be recording in January. Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. Like, I think it's, I mean, I don't know. This is me looking the outside looking in, but, and I've said this to quite a few bands that I've interviewed where I think it's kind of like a no brainer in this day and age to do these videos because, I mean, let's face it, you can do it a lot cheaper nowadays than back in the day. And,
oh, sure.
And YouTube is, I think the key to everything right now is them videos on YouTube because it's so easy to get them out there. You don't have to wait for MTV to play it or Hope to play it. I mean, it you just keep pumping it out there through social media. And when I hear, like, I talked to it was Steve Whiteman from Kix a couple years ago,
uh-huh.
And I was talking about that, and he was like, I don't think it's really worth it. And my head like wanted to implode. I'm like, what are you saying? Like, no, dude, no, it's very important.
Right. Well, I do love Kix. I've always liked them. And, you know, I mean, all I could say maybe on a business standpoint is that, you know, they get paid way more than we do for shows. Maybe they're cool with that, and that's fine. And maybe they're saying, like, what's another video or so going to do? I mean, everybody's different. But
right.
But how can it not help? Sure.
You know, sure.
But everyone,
yeah.
everyone's different, though. But then again, like you said, you know, like I just said, there's many bands out there that are probably going like, hey, man, we're cool with we make great money touring, we make great money merchandise, man, I ain't going to do all that social media stuff. And we ain't going to spend 2 days making a video. But for us, we're still, you know, fighting the good fight to get to the top of wherever the top is for us.
Right.
You know, we're not saying the top, but yeah.
Right. I think just by the fact that you saying that, you're going to do 4 or 5 videos, and with the new album and all, it almost sounded too like it's kind of like reinvigorated the whole world of Pretty Boy Floyd and the music business for you too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, we have the opportunity. We're on a great label and the record's great. So we're going to take every opportunity we can, we're smart enough to do that now. You know, like I said, me and Chris's brains are together and we have every opportunity to do it. You know, there's many people that have saw us at shows and festivals and stuff like that. They know what we have to offer. They know what kind of live band we are now. They know what kind of band we are with the new record. And why not? It's awesome. We're going to give people we're going to do it exactly the way we wanted to do it. You know, we're going to shove, our faces down everybody's throat, for the next couple of years and get it out there. And the people that love it, great. The people that don't, hey, freedom of speech, you're all good.
Right.
Go on to the next one. But, yeah, definitely 4 or 5 videos, definitely tons of social media, and hopefully a lot of great shows.
Nice.
A lot of great shows. And then after all that, we'll get ready for the next record.
See, now that sounds very, very exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Well, we ain't stopping.
So what's the next video? Do you guys know which one you're doing next? Or
the best I can say is that we did like a little survey online. You saw this, so, but people would like to hear the ballad next.
Nice.
We got the most. We kind of let the fans do that. We did it for like a week or like 3-4 days. I think it was 3-4 days, and we got enough votes or so that it's probably going to be the ballad. I mean, we only did one ballad on the record, so. I love the ballad, so I think we're going to rock the ballad next, and then we'll do like
cool.
3 or 4 rockers after that.
Now, what does the opening intro to the album, S-A-T-A, what does that stand for?
That you would actually have to ask Chris. He's got some subliminal meaning to that in his brain.
Shout at the asshole.
I don't know exactly. I guess I should have it more prepared the next time I do an interview. Yeah. One time he said, like, I'm going to do this thing and I'm going to this and that. I think some of the times I just go, like, do whatever you want. So I wish I had a greater answer. He has an answer, but I don't.
Too funny. So for next time, we'll have to figure out that answer.
Yes, for next time, we will start with the SATA. Yes, we will.
Cool. All right. So where should we send everybody to actually get the album, buy it, and where it's most beneficial for you guys?
Actually, at the very moment, it would be going to my page. It would be actually my Facebook page.
Well, there you go.
That's where the best place at the moment is. We are we're redoing our website. I know that. Through me is the best way right now. It actually sold out of like the first pressing of. Well, you said what will benefit us the most, so let's just
yeah.
So I don't need to go. I don't need to go round and round. Then get a hold of me, Steve Summers on Facebook.
Steve Summers,
you'll get it. yes, you will get I woke up last night to like some more orders, and I can get the thing for you, and it could be signed, a vinyl and a CD. And you sure can. Here's how you purchase it. Okay, great. I'll pack it tomorrow. Yeah. So I would say through me, yes. Find Steve Summers on Facebook. You'll get your CD signed, your vinyl signed. You'll get all the good stuff.
That's awesome. That's on vinyl too. Very excited about that.
Oh, yeah. That's totally cool.
Cool. And you guys are doing a listening party. When's that? December 22nd at the Rainbow.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we did the record release party. We couldn't get everything into that one show, and then the Rainbow asked us because they were doing their Christmas party with bands and stuff like that, and they asked us if we want to be special guests to do a listening party there. So we're going to play the record and we're going to hang out with the fans and take pictures and have dinner and drinks with them and have a great night. And yes, I will be selling CDs and t-shirts. Yeah. And all that stuff.
You know, it's funny because going back to that show in Delaware you guys did, like you had the full spread of merch and LA Guns had nothing. And I was like, what the hell's going on here?
Well, yeah, once again, like I said with that, and once again, like I said, I love all those bands. Any bands that I talked about, I love them. We're just talking business. If you ask me a question, I'm going to give you my answer. So, you know,
sure.
If you ask me why a certain band only did one video, I might have an answer to, like, well, maybe they get paid 5 times more than we do or 10 times and they don't want to. Who knows? I don't know. Maybe they're happy with where they are. I mean, shit. If I was getting $10,000-$15,000 a show and I'm doing 50 shows in 2 months, I might go to you, video. When are we going to fit that in?
Right, right.
You know, so, but, no, you know, merchandise, we've always been a band, you know, like a Kiss or something like that. We always wanted to have just a ton of stuff. And it's always been like that for the past years. You know, we could play with the bigger bands and stuff like that. And we'll always make sure we have, you know, 5 or 6 different shirts, you know, 10 or 12 glossies. We'll try to have as many CDs and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's fun. I mean, it's sure. fun. I mean, I still, you know, I still finish a show and I don't even go right backstage. I just go right to the merch booth because, you know, I'm not going to, you know, not just to sell the stuff, but to meet the people. You know, I wish back in the day when, you know, some of my favorite bands, if I could have seen a show and known, I could have walked over and, you know, met Stephen Piercy or, you know, David Lee Roth right after they played. That would have been awesome. So
yeah.
I know they love it and I know they're definitely appreciative of it. And so, yeah, tons of merch.
Awesome. 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 Cool. Well, dude, this has been great talking to you finally. It's been a while. I've been
waiting.
You've been on the radar for years. So
cool. Are we friends on booking stuff like that or do we don't even
know? No,
okay.
You know, you never accepted the request, so there you go.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Well, let's not say I never accept it. Well, okay, we could use that word, but there's you know what I do every day? I go down and I delete people that I accepted, like when Facebook first came out, and I'm like, these people aren't even fans. I just accepted them for whatever, and then I add people that, like, I see, you know, made a comment or a like on something of ours, so I'll be doing some deleting today, and then I will be accepting your request now that I know who the hell you are.
How about that? Yeah,
yeah.
Seeing, you know, and we actually talked at Delaware when you were there, and I talked to you about getting on the show. So it only took a year and a few months to make it happen, but we made it happen.
Yeah, what the hell, you know, shit. Like I said, my Rams stunk last year, and now we're doing good. Some things take time, you know.
Hey, man, you know, speaking of the Rams, you guys freaking, you possibly killed our Eagle dreams the other day with Carson going down. I wanted, like, freaking, like, it's a knife in the heart over here.
Yeah, that was terrible. I hate to see anybody get injured. Yeah, sorry about that. That was, I mean, at least it wasn't like a bad player, like a player. You know, a penalty, you know, going in for a late hit or something. I mean, it was a hit and it's terrible that he got injured. Yeah. That's horrible.
When that happened, like it was one of them hits. Like you heard, it was funny because my wife, she wasn't even really paying attention. She's like, ooh, what was that? And I'm like, ooh. And he got up and, you know, throws the next pass for a touchdown. And you're like, okay, yeah, everything's cool.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. Well, hopefully, Nick, what's it? Nick Foles. Hopefully he
Nick
can.
Nick Foles, yeah.
Yeah. We had him as a Ram for a couple of days here and there, a couple of years back. I was hoping he would do better than he did. But once again, we were a terrible team. So I don't know. You guys are a better team than the Rams were years ago. So maybe, Maybe he could pull some magic.
We'll see. We'll see. They're saying so. I'm, you know, fingers crossed. I haven't talked about the Eagles all year. Like, I just don't want to, like, jinx it. Or I've been so scared to say anything, and we still get the jinx. But, so it's like, what's the point?
And then that happens. I know. That's horrible. Right. All right. So, awesome, man.
Dude, thanks again, man. And if I could just get you to cut an ID before you go, this is Steve Summers of Pretty Boy Floyd, and you're listening to Totally Driven Radio.
Sure. Hey, everybody, this is Steve Summers from the band Pretty Boy Floyd, and you are listening to Totally Driven Radio.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Steve, man. Take care, and talk to you soon. Good luck with everything.
Hey, and you will get that exception request today, buddy. I will not waste any time. Yeah.
Awesome. You're the man.
Buddy. Thanks so much. I
appreciate
it.
You got it, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah.
Go!
All right, Milk and Wax, Tell You Germany Rocks, Bay Ragney here. There you go. There it is. There's the music. We started that off with the second block of music with Feel the Heat, which was the first single and video. Then we did We Got the Power, and then we did Girls All Around the World. And all three of those are brand new tunes from the new album, Public Enemies. Check it out. Pick it up. Get it. And tell Steve and the boys you're totally driven. So there you go. So there's our episode. We'll return Thursday night with another episode of Totally Driven Radio Rocks. And this time we'll be talking to the one and only Jeff Tate, former lead singer of Queensryche. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Hey, thanks also, too, if you didn't hear, I won the Philly A-List contest, Best of Philly Top Radio Personality. Thank you for voting. I couldn't have done it without y'all. And also, too, stay driven, everybody. Hope everybody has a happy and safe holiday if I don't talk to you then. Check me out, Bay Ragney, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and look for Totally Driven Entertainment and Radio. Stay driven, everybody. Happy holidays.